briefly, I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. As a Faith Baptist camp, probably
12 years ago. And Brother Sammy had five evangelists get up, and he gave us 5 minutes each. And there was myself, and I remember two other men. And then Brother Travis Clayton, he took his 25 minutes in a five-minute slot. But I was tugging on his jacket, and of course, he doesn't pay a lick of attention to him. And then this next man got up, and just for 5 minutes, he just began to just share some things out of the Word of God. And I'm not being funny, I'm not being silly, I'm giving roses while we're living. And as he began to share those things, God so touched my heart. And I just remember thinking, I hope I come across that man again someday. And God let our paths cross. The Lord's let us cross five or six times. Brother Donnie had that meeting up in the mountains of Tennessee for many years. And I got to say this, Brother Donnie, I'm not trying to explain you. I'm not trying to let people figure you out. But he's not like us. Amen. He's not like, you'll figure that out real quick. Amen. Brother Donnie's a man of God. I love him, he's my friend, but that's not why he's here. He's here because he's a man of God. And you listen, give him perfect liberty to preach what God would have him to preach.
I'm nervous. I hadn't been nervous in a long time. You're going to make me nervous. And I tell you, I told Sister McVernon. Yes, y'all know I'm staying with him today. He's going to be back Wednesday. And I told her, I said, most youth conferences I go to, they're predominant women, young girls. But you're predominant young men. And that is a blessing, boy.
Amen.
That is a blessing. And to see so many young men, and I'm not trying to put you ladies down, but where are the young men?
Yeah.
You know, and boy, it's a blessing to see you. And young ladies, that's a blessing to you young ladies, all right? You're ruling the world now, so what does it say? Another world, all right? I had this message to preach down in Kentucky, and the one I worked on so much for you, for this conference, I don't have it with me. And so I'm going to give you this and I got, because I'm too nervous right now, all right? And so, could I preach it without having my outline?
Yeah. Preach. Yeah, you never saw an outline in there,
brother. All right. 1 Samuel 26 now. So, we'll just have to go with what I can remember, all right? Just what I can remember. I don't know what I did with it. I left my coat at home. I left a pair of pants that I can only wear, and these right now are too small, and I could blow up a gasket, and I'm not going to preach the way you say I am, so I don't think, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 26, in reverence to the Word of God, let's all stand as we read, all right? I don't want to read it all. I'm going to have to. Let's pick it up around verse 7. Now, David has come upon Saul. Saul's laying in the trench. He's chasing David. He wants to kill David. But Saul is in the trench now, and he's got a spear stuck up in the ground. He stuck the spear in the ground. And then he went to sleep, and all of them around him were asleep. And David got one of his men named Abishai, however you want to pronounce that. And they were going over to Saul, and Abishai is wanting to take his life. So we pick it up. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping with the trench with his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hands this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. And the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in the bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side, stood on top of a hill afar off, and a great space between them. David cried unto the people, to Abner now, the son of Ner, saying, answer thou not, Abner. Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see, okay, understand this. Now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And that word bolster is head. And Saul knew David's voice, and Saul woke up. And he said, is this my voice, my son David? His voice is going back to where he first met him now. And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? For what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let the Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up, now listen to these two things. If the Lord had stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if the people, if the children of men, cursed be them before the Lord. For they have driven me out of this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods, David. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, in whom one doth hunt as a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear. He's holding it up right now. And let one, and this is my text. This is the text. And let one of the young men come over and fetch it. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it. God's taken the spear away from Saul. And David's holding it up. He said, let one young man come and get the spear. Let one young man come and get the spear. For this man, Saul, has been rejected. The anointed has fallen. And David's standing there asking for him to come. Now I'll try to preach from there. Lord, thank you for this time. You know, as we rode all the way in this place, and as we asked of those, and we witnessed to a couple of people, asked a couple of young ladies if they'd come to the meeting, and they said, where at? I said, come tonight. And would you come? And Lord, would there be one young man that'd come and get together the spirit tonight and go forth for the glory of God? Stand in the way for you in these days. Help us tonight that the Holy Ghost might deal with every heart. Before this week's out, may the Spirit of God call the hearts of people. May the Holy Spirit move in the lives of everyone. May God, that those songs we sung tonight about the power of the blood of Christ that's able to take our sins away, may you wash those sinners tonight white as snow. May the blood of Christ cleanse them to the depths of their soul. And God, they be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. But most of all, I pray for this young man that might be sitting here tonight,
that he might come and fetch the spear and serve the Lord as David did. So that in Jesus' name, amen, you be seated. Now, I would probably try to follow my outline right here. So about the only thing you're going to have to do is pray that I might know where to go. An area, first of all, is that you might see David, and as he was there speaking to Saul and Paul, to Saul, and he's fixing to kill him. Now, the one that's going to take his life is Abishai. Abishai was one of the sons of three. It was named, the mother was named Zeruiah. Zeruiah had three sons. It was called Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. All three of these sons was of a woman. They were of a woman. And they were mean. They were mighty men. They were great warriors. They were great men. And David would speak of them. Those men bothered me. He said, David, the fighting and the warring and the mightiness of those men. You know, but they were captains of the army. They were captains in the way of serving the Lord. But David was there, and Abishai is going to take him, and he's going to kill him. And David said, don't touch the Lord's anointed. All right, if I can admonish to a young man nowadays, leave those men to God. Those that have fallen in the way, don't boo with them. You don't need to worry about them. You need to take the spear that God's got for you, grab hold of that spear, and go for God. And go for God with all your might. Go with God with all you got. Go with God with all your... Because you better understand, mighty men have been in the battle, and Saul was a mighty man, and every man can fall. They can get to a place that they'll fall in the battle. And he did. He fell because of disobedience. He didn't fall because of that area of that fornication or adultery. David had Bathsheba. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. God, he suffered for that. He suffered much for that because of that. But Saul was rejected the kingdom because he did not obey God. He did not obey God. And the most important thing in your life is to obey God. Obey the Lord. You grab that spear and you obey God. Brother, many men will give you things. Many will say a lot of things and tell you a lot of things. And it's good to have good counsel. I've listened to much of you men. And you've got good counsel around here. You've got good correction. You've got good stead. But it comes down to the point in your life, it'll be between you and God. It'll be between you and God. It'll always come to the place that it's going to be you and him. Always. You've got to forsake everything everybody else has got to say. You've got to turn away. You don't get away from good counsel. But you better make sure, and you come to him, it's you and God, and you're going to obey him with all your heart. You're going to obey the Lord. You're going to obey God. Now that thing there where Abishai said, he said, don't touch God's anointing. He's good, then you'll be guiltless. Be guiltless. Don't touch his anointing. What do you want to do? The text. Let a young man come and take this spear. He told him there, he said to David, he said, David, he said, this is the way men will die. You see three ways of men dying there. He said, a man can be smitten by God. That verse, God can smite him. You better believe God can smite him. God can smite him. And then secondly, he lives his days. You can live a long life. He can live his days as God. Your days are numbered, buddy. You can cut them off. By sin. You can cut your days short by sin. By going on and getting away from God. That'll cut your life off. He said that the way he said obedience. And so let me take the third one. He said, but he shall die from die. See, you've got to help me now. I'm just going to what I remember. I wish I could get to it. I'll get to it. You've got to come to a place that you see that you've got to be guiltless of because man shall die. God will smite him. Secondly, he'll die of old age or he will descend in battle and perish. Guess what happened to Saul? He descended in battle and perished. Amen. He descended. He died in that battle. He went back. I'll get to that in a minute if I can in the right order. See that there's three ways to die. That three ways are to die, but there's only one way to live. Three ways you can die. Smitten by God. You can die by old age, or you can die descending in war. But what is the West? Three ways to die, but one way to live. How do I live? Obedience. Right. Three ways you can die, but there's only one way to live, and that's obey God. Let's obey the Lord. We've our brother talking about all the things that waited there, and the wrong touching, the people getting everything around here. And I was like, you better obey God when it comes to this book. You better obey God when it comes to this word. And these preachers that teach you to tell this book and to learn this book, you obey God through that book. You come order to that book. That book orders your steps, amen. And that also, that book will keep your mind, amen. It'll keep your mind. We got a day that people are like a termite yo-yo. They're so confused, they don't know where they're going. They've got their hat turned around backwards, don't know which direction to walk. Amen. You see, got their pants hanging down and everything else. And they're so confused. It's unbelievable. Young people are confused. The way of God is clear. The way of God is correct. The way of God is the only way. I'm going to walk in that way. I'm going to live in that way. I'm going to walk in the old paths. I'm going to walk in the doctrines and the teaching that we've had from the old. Amen. So we live for the Lord. He said, I'm holding the spear up. Behold it. Let a young man come and get it. Let a young man come and get it. He said, behold the spear. You got to understand the area and the area of Paul, or Saul, and David. Son. Do you understand the means of what David said? He said to him once, one of my points was, is that preciousness of Saul's soul. I can think about the preciousness of Saul's soul. He said, David, why didn't you kill me? Why didn't you take me? He said, because your soul was precious in my sight. Verse 30, 21. And I have sinned, and I have sinned. I am no more do thee harm. He said, I'm not going to harm you, Lord, because my soul was precious. For my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. My soul was precious in that. I want to say to you one thing. If a soul of man is not precious to you, you better get out of it, buddy. For the souls of men are precious to God. Amen. Never die or dying, once and every person around. That soul is precious, buddy. Those living down here, living in their form, with all the kind of the Amish and the others, and many other, living the way they are, their soul is precious to God. Their soul is precious to God. Every soul, there's not a one of us in here tonight that is not God's preciousness to your soul, that God could come to you and save you out of sin. Amen. God would come in your heart and make a new person out of you. That God would put, God would put a song in your heart. He won't have to coach you up. He won't have to prime you up. He won't have to direct you. He won't have to get you saved. You get a song in your heart, all he's got to do is say, let's sing, amen. And you'll start singing. You'll start singing. And another thing, and God get a hold of your testimony like that. You get up and talk about how good he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is, how great it was the day he came in my life. When the Lord saved me, he put joy in me, buddy. He didn't put religion in me. He didn't put me to do better. He put an existence up to be better. He said, be this. He didn't say, do this. There are the commandments of God, they're not grievous, I said. But all in the epistles it says, he said, you need to be filled.
Yeah.
You need to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You need to be. That's a state of existence.
Right.
That's a state of existence. Your state of existence ought to be filled with the Spirit. Your state of existence ought to be joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's the way you say it down south. Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, same person. Holy Spirit up here, I know you Yankees don't know how to say it yet. We'll get you down there, amen. No, amen. Okay. I knew I'd go stand for his over with. I told him he's the only Yankee I ever liked. He called me up. And he called me up and he said, this is the only Yankee you ever liked. I said, amen, brother. I love you so much. And I do. I love him all my heart. And the reason of that, and I don't try to take away from the starches, but they're shouting and rejoicing of the Lord is not in the hearts of people now, man. They're living a religious life. They're not living a spirit-filled life. They're living a religious life. The do's and the don'ts of God. The do's and the don'ts. And I'm not against do's and don'ts. There's a lot of do's and don'ts in there.
What is that? What God done to you? He said you ought to exist in Him. Yeah. You ought to be in Him. Yeah. You ought to be fruitful. Yeah. You ought to be filled. You ought to be this. You ought to be that. Hey, man, I want to be something for God, don't you? I want to exist in the work of the Holy Ghost. And I'm sorry that it makes me like this, but I can get to worshiping, and I can get worse than this when he gets to worshiping. Yeah. Amen. Get a whole lot worse. Amen. You're going to say shout, shout, praise God. Amen. You're going to sing about shouting, shout. Don't talk about it and not do it. Amen. Amen. That's a lot of preachers. I just feel like shouting. Well, do it, bless God. You said you ought to feel like shouting. Well, do it. Yeah. Quit talking about it and start doing it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's, you know I've been on a bunch of them about that. You got them just as much. They're so starchy. You know, they walk around with their white shirts and a tie. So you got to put on that, you know. I didn't really. Is a soul precious to you?
Come on.
Are souls precious to you? You want to work for God? You want to be God? You want to grab that spear? You going to fight the battles? Souls have got to be precious to you.
Amen.
They got to be precious to you.
Yeah.
You know, I've done two kids up there. I've done asked two to come to the meeting. You know, there's two girls. That's where they're at. They're out there working on. And don't think that you got as much problems as far as this sin and that's abounding. You know, we're in that Tennessee and Georgia and everywhere else. Sin's abounding.
Yeah,
it's right. Abounding. Yeah, where it's like lots. You get vexed when you walk out the door, don't you?
That's
if
right.
It's not vexing you, something's wrong with you, buddy.
Yeah.
You need to get fed. You need to get to God. If it's not bothering you, if you're just going on when it ain't bothering you, there's something wrong with you. They say, Brother Harvey, why do you feel so bad? If it don't bother you, you need to get right.
Amen.
If it don't bother you, amen. But and all that we need to do is when we get right, is we need to get filled with the Spirit. Say, what do you got? I got saved, hallelujah. There was one day that God came into my life 37 years ago, and it's been good ever since. It's been gracious. He's been good, and it's been holy. Amen. It's been holy. How in the world can a holy God get in your eye with His holy word and not make a holy person out of it? He'll make a holy person out of you. Amen. But I can't say something to me, you preacher. We're dead at 4 o'clock. We won't shout no more. We won't say amen no more. We won't lose preaching no more. And we just sit there laying. You say, Brother Harvey, it's rough. It's rough, ain't it? Hallelujah. Let's exhort one another in this county this week. Hallelujah. Say, preach on, buddy. Let's let the young people see that it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. I can't stand this miserable religion. I never got miserable when I got saved, boys.
That's right.
Yeah. I got happy. Yeah. I got happy. Amen. Yeah. You couldn't keep me in the seat. You couldn't keep me from telling somebody about Jesus. You couldn't keep me going home and telling somebody. That's right, you girls do. Amen. You couldn't keep them from shouting. You couldn't keep them from singing. You couldn't keep them. You had to shut them down and still pop them up. You couldn't even get in the pulpit and preach. The preacher was preaching. I mean, won't you just be still? It's my turn to preach. You know what I mean? You know, it's why, you know, it's hell. I'd rather try to shut them up than try to pump them up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, try to get them to do something. Souls have got to be precious to you. Life's got to be precious to you.
That's right.
Man.
Life is precious. How many suicides we got going on? I mean, how many just depressed? Unbelievable. Life ain't precious to me. Life is precious.
Amen.
It's precious. You know? Oh, Elijah, I'm pulling a lot of different places and thoughts. Oh, Elijah, I'm just pulling out different messages because I can't remember everything I got on this one. I'm going to pull out those things of what I remember. I preached on three things Elijah did after he fell, after he went into depression. Three things he did actually in depression. First thing is, he found him a friend. His name was Elisha. Mm-hmm. And Elisha liked it. Oh, Elisha liked everything Elijah liked, didn't he? And he tried to keep Elisha from following. He said, you stay here. He said, I don't care where you go, Elijah. I'm not going with you.
Yeah.
Boy, I like them kind, don't you?
Yeah.
I like them young preachers. They get up behind you and they say, won't you just get out of this thing? You don't need to be part of it. I don't care where you're going, I'm going with you. I'm a going with you wherever you go. Hey, you know, if they call the preach, don't worry about it. If they call the preacher, tell them to kick them out. Say, God, God calls you to preach. You won't get away from it. You won't get away from it. If the Lord deals with you about preaching, he said, get away from me. He found a friend. Boy, I found me a friend. When then I started following. I found my Elijah. Now I followed him. Then he got across the river, right? When he got across Jordan, that's where he died himself, all right? Went across Jordan, got on the other side. He said, what do you want? He asked him what he wanted. He asked him what he wanted after he crossed Jordan. You need to die to yourself.
Yes, sir.
You need to take a Jordan journey across there to die to yourself before you get the answer to what you want.
Amen.
Until you find that day of full surrender in your life. Do you find that place that you come to Jordan following the man of God? I know on a sudden, on a night, up in the camp meeting in South Carolina years ago, I'd been thirsting for God for 2 years. All I'd done for my first 2 years was cry. I just cried and cried. They'd say, what's wrong with you? I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. Why was I wanting God? I was wanting God so bad I couldn't taste it. I was wanting God in my life. I tell you, I used to be the seat up in the prayer room. Amen. They'd come up there, and say, you don't have to holler out for God. He ain't deaf. I said, I know, but he might not be listening to me. I just thought, so I'm hitting that bed. I come up out of that prayer room. I go in and it would be home. I love preaching. I love God. I love the Lord. I was thirsting for God. But I had the one day of a full surrender. It was on a Monday night in that account meeting. That thing, we come in there and you couldn't walk around, for the Holy Ghost was strong. He was working on us. People were flying to the altar. They were hitting the altar. They was all over the altar, all over that altar, just a crying and a weeping. Every once in a while, want to jump up and say, hallelujah, jump up. God saved. I jumped up like that. And God said, praise God. All of a sudden, it seemed like God just said, okay, that got 250 people to 300 came up off of that altar, and brother, the glory was all around.
Amen.
Glory was everywhere. Were we speaking in tongues? No. Were we doing anything that way? No. What were we doing? We were shouting, praising God, raising our hands, saying hallelujah. You could recognize it. It wasn't out of order. It wasn't something you couldn't figure out. It wasn't saying anything couldn't be understood. The only thing I don't understand is the old word, hallelujah. Amen. That's a universal word, Joe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And that's what went on. Hey, when you got to have a full surrender, that might be the message. You have a full surrender in your life.
Come on.
Yeah,
a full surrender somewhere. Could this week be a full surrender?
Come on.
Those old timers say, we'd get along praying. That old preacher that led that meeting, I could listen to him pray. He'd say, God, if you don't do it this week, it'll not be done.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, God, it'll not be done. He'd get up and just leave that hang on. It might break loose on Tuesday. It might break loose on Wednesday. But before that week's over, buddy, that whole crowd will be on the altar. Gonna get preached to all week. You got a bunch of preachers here ready to preach to you. Is there a full surrender in your life? That's what God wants me to talk about. Is there a full surrender in your life? Is there a place that you know you might be saved, but you totally locked, stock, and barrel, gave it all to God, throwed off everything, said, God, I'm yours. Everything about me, I'm yours. You got everything. I give it all up. I want you more than I want anything else. Full surrender. He found a friend. Second, he went back and faced the foe. Jezebel. We got a Jezebel in the country right now, young son. A Jezebel everywhere now, buddy, I'm telling you. They're in our government big time. Jezebel big time, buddy. Jezebels. My wife says, you know, so I get to, she said, please don't get like that. She said, no. I said, yes, I watch the news, I get tore up, don't you all? I feel like throwing something at that television. And that's what I just said about him. And then you see it all out of time. Hey, he got Jezebel. He went back. This is the message. This is the message. This is what God wants. He went back to the place and he ran. He went back to the wall of Jezreel. That's where he ran. That's where he ran to. You know? So what did he do? The three things he done after he got out of, he came out from another juniper tree. He first found him a friend. Secondly, he faced the foe. He's come out of depression now. You remember, he'd been under a juniper tree.
He'd been down there crying, saying, "Lord, it's enough. God, just take me now." Hey, when you get out of depression, you don't get down there and say, "I'm going to kill myself." You say, "God, you kill me." That's what you say. You don't sit there, you say, "You kill me. I'm tired this much, God. Kill me. I just get me out of it." Hey, you ain't going to give me that. You've said before the Lord, it's been bad. It's been rough. You say, "God, just kill me. Get me out of it. God, just kill me. I'm ready to go home." He won't do it. He won't do it. You know what he does? He lets you go on. He gives them the strength to get up. He gives you water and bread. He gets you up. He said, "You got a journey to go. You got a place to go." Hey, how the best way to come out of depression is fully surrender to God. Oh, the best way to get out of your depressed state is when God starts dealing with you and you're all tore up about it. Just bow down and say, "Lord, oh God, help me. Help me, God. Come in my life. Take my life. Make my mind what ought to be." And when you get up, you'll find you a friend like Elisha. You'll follow it. You'll die to yourself. You'll find full surrender. You'll go back to where you run and say, "Cast her down, amen. Throw that Jezebel down. Go down and she come off the wall, blood and guts everywhere." And he'll come with his chariot right over the top of her, did he not? That's pretty cruel, wasn't it?
All right.
Went back face to foe. And I'm finishing the theater. That's the message. I remember it real good. I preached it a lot of times. Okay? I don't know what I'm going to do with that other than go and look at it and say, "Why didn't you keep it in your outlines?" You know? So, he done three things. I think that's where it's at. Now, let me not run into too many rabbits. I teach Bible students and a lot of things like that. And I've been criticized about this thing of running rabbits. He said, "Brother Harvey, would you quit please run rabbits?" I said, "Okay, I won't run rabbits anymore." He said, "I'll digress." I just digress from the subject. That fits him a whole lot better. And then I got another one from this other preacher. He got a name. He said, "I got a thought." He's a preacher on. He said, "I think I'll chase that thought right there." I said, "That's a rabbit, man. Ain't no difference. I'm going to chase that thought. That's a rabbit. Digressing, chasing a thought. That's a rabbit." There was a man over in Carolinas. I preached for him. His dad's got a rabbit farm. Got a rabbit farm. He said, "You keep the lights on at night, they'll produce more rabbits." Mm-hmm. They give them the light on. Yeah. I'm preaching along, preaching. So all of a sudden, rabbits going everywhere. I said, "The lights come on, baby. The lights come on, and rabbits are everywhere, buddy. I'm a chase the rabbit." Boy, when the light of that word starts to open up in your mind, when the light of that word starts going everywhere, you can't even get on. What about preaching? Preach everywhere. The light of the word. The light of the word, it comes on. Boy, there's thoughts. There's rabbits everywhere. There's digressing everywhere. That's what I've done tonight. I've digressed from the subject. Amen.
Hey.
Yeah. The old diver back when I was a kid, they'd roll their sleeves up and they couldn't read. Mm. They couldn't read long. And the wife would read for them.
Yeah.
They could remember those scriptures. And they'd get around and go, "Hun, I want to preach a lot." And they'd be going on and they'd go, "Huh? I want to preach a lot of this. I'm just waiting on God, what God wants me to say." They'd be talking a little bit and they'd say, "Huh?" And they'd be going along and then they'd go, "Huh?" You know, and all of a sudden they'd go, "Huh?" You know, and I'd go along. And all of a sudden they said, they'd light into where they ought to be. And for about 15 minutes, man, you heard preaching. For about 15 minutes they'd preach, buddy. The blood veins are popping out of their face. Scriptures are going everywhere. They wasn't telling stories and tales. They wasn't going over all this illustration and everything else. They'd preach that book, buddy. They'd preach that book. They'd preach the Bible. Read that Bible. My daddy had an eighth grade education, and he knew that Bible back and forth. And he knew the King James, too. You know, I just thought I'd throw that in there. I know you all don't believe in the King James. You're an NIV people. I knew that all along. And so I didn't want to say King James. I afraid somebody might get offended. out of depression, I'm down through now. See, tell me why. He found him a friend. You're going to find a friend who wants to walk the way you want to walk. Carol, you don't want a friend up there. You don't want a friend up somebody out here who don't want to walk with God. You don't want to run around with somebody who don't want to live for the Lord. You don't have company with that. You want to find somebody who wants to live for God, don't you?
You're going to find somebody else love God because you can fellowship together. You can come together. You come to youth meeting. Now, old friends, come be love preaching. Found him a friend. Second, he went back and faced the foe. Last thing he done, he fell to fire. He's sitting over on the side of that hill. It's over there in Ahaziah's eye. And fell through the lattice and he was sick. And he sent his messengers down to the God of Ekron, which is Dagon. And old Elijah met them fellas. And he said, they looked at him and they said, and he said, is there not a God in Israel? And all of a sudden they looked at him and they went back. And they were young men. And Ahaziah, they said, he said, we were going down there and a man met us and asked us if there wasn't a God in Israel. He said, what did he look like? He said, he's a hairy man. And he had the camel's hair. He said, and Ahaziah said, that's Elijah. He had never seen him, but he had known from his daddy what Elijah looked like. He knew old Ahab as Ahab. You know who his daddy was? Ahab. Ahab was his daddy, buddy. Them young messengers, they told him who it was. He said, go back there and tell him come off that mountain. So they went back down to the second crew. They come back down there and they said, he said, if you come down off that mountain. He said, you come, it's on the hill now. He wasn't on the mountain, Mount Carmel, but it's on the hill here. Could be something there. Hill with mountain difference. Okay? There was Mount Carmel. Okay, let me show you the difference. At Mount Carmel, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. At Mount Carmel, here's on the hill. He said, if he must have been down. Because on Mount Carmel, he didn't say if. He didn't say if. He said, if I be the man of God, let it fall. But here he is, out of depression. He found him a friend. He went and faced the foe. But guess what? Last thing he done, he fell to fire. He fell, he said, if I be the son of God, if I be the man of God, let fire fall from heaven. To give some of you kids some of this right here, he went, He said, I still got it. I still got it. But he was doubting. He said, if he was doubting. He said, if, but God filled the fire. Amen. God filled the fire. So it comes the third set. The third one's come up to him. This is why I'm getting up precious. Third set come up to him, and he's standing there, and they looking at it. And that captain came out there and said, Elijah, is not life precious to you? Is not life precious to you? And God, the angel said, go down. He didn't go down on his own will. The angel said, go down. It's not that you come down as a man of God from your standard. It's not that you come down from your teaching, the preaching of the Word of God. We're going to stand like Elijah with all of our heart. But we're going to have to come down to them. Not to compromise. Not to turn away from it. Not to go away from what's right. But we're going to have to come down to them. Why? Why do we not? It's not coming down on your standard. That's not coming down on your stand. That's not coming down on telling them. Because old Ahaziah died. But it's to have compassion and a passion for people. Yeah, and so don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? I care for you. Life is precious to me. Elijah said, life is precious to me. Life precious to you. Is life precious to you in the middle of where we're standing right now? Life is precious. These people out here in such trouble. You listen to me, young preacher. You listen to me, young man. You come and get that heart. You come and get that sword. God offers that to you. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Let, at your choice, let him come. Come to God. He ain't going to cause you. He ain't going to make it. He ain't going to stop you. He said the call of God. Have you ever had the call of God? You can't get away from it. God calling you. God calling you. You'll go home with it. You'll go to the house with it. You'll go everywhere you go. Somebody keeps dealing with me. Somebody keeps talking to me. Somebody just keeps in my soul, in my mind. Who is that knocking? Who is that calling? Who is that troubling my soul? That's Jesus. He's wanting somebody, some young man, to come and grab the spear this week, to get a hold of the spear. Behold the spear. Or you come and get it. Are you just going to come and be here for no reason at all? Just serve a little time, make sure everybody knew you come. Or you're going to come, these people and these preachers looking for you to touch God. And let me say, I'm trying to stop. God spoke to me about coming up here. And when he does that, in all my ministry, man, I pastored a church for 10 years, had a great ministry. And then I pastored another church for about 10. I went to evangelism about 15 years ago. And I was at a camp meeting. God said, you're going on up early in Kentucky. That was where I was at this Friday night. I've been up there for 15 years. But Brother Sammy Allen is my closest friend. Me and Brother Sammy are real close. And down our meeting, let's pray for him, brother. That friend to the end, I'm going to stay right to him to the end.
Yes.
But in this, it's just in such a place, and I'll just leave it there. I walked out that door, and God said, you go up there, you put a bunch of edges. He said, go on up there. I want you to go up there and work with me. Now, I don't do this. I went down south years ago. So I came up through here with a burden. I came up through it. I just wasn't going to a meeting. Because God has let me work with young people all my ministry. I've got a lot of young preachers now for college. How many you young men have? Ladies, somebody hit you all, so y'all just hold on right now. We're after the Lord. There's so many preachers going to get you, so okay, yes, sir. Right now, is there one young man before this week's out? Is there one young man before this week's out? Would you consider it all week? Would you take time when you go back to wherever you're going and they're going to come pick you up or you're going to come again? Would you spend some time this week to find what God wants out of you?
Yes.
Are you just going to keep on playing around with it? You know, I showed up or go joke about it or just think it's a place of performing or coming. Or are you going to really take hold of the spear of these mighty men that have fallen? Their ministries are asleep. That's what Saul was asleep. His ministries are asleep, but they're sleeping right now. The sword's stuck in the ground, but there's still a David around. There's still a young man around. There's still somebody. They're still here. We're here for God's grace. You're standing and living here tonight for God's mercy, God's grace on your life. And don't you say, what about it? What are you going to do? You going to boast for tomorrow? You think you've got another day? Today is the day. Today is the day.
Yeah.
Live that way all the way down through life. I'll quit right there. Let me pray.
Hey.
Lord, I ask you for this evening that it be a beginning of this youth camp.
Yes, help us, Lord.
That these other men that's got a burden in their heart and they come all the way over here. And God, what a privilege to stand in this church where our Tory did years ago. Let us continue with the faith. Let us in our day that know our lot is this moment. And may we abide in the truth. And may we still be calling for young men to take the job on, to take the work on. And Lord, that there would be some before this. If I just be one, it would be one that totally, fully give their life to God and serve Him with all their heart.
Yes,
we accomplish what's needed this week. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.